You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Matthew Langley. Matthew, thanks so much for being with me today.
My pleasure to be here, Brainerd. Thanks for having me on.
Matthew, we're going to talk about your work today, but of course we're also talking on April 29th in 2020, and we're right in the middle of the pandemic in the Upper West Side of New York City. So it's hard not to speak a little bit to that. So in terms of what you're doing now, your studio practice, how has your practice changed, or what's happening in your studio now in this context where New York is on a lockdown?
Yeah, it's changed quite a little bit. I have a main studio in Mana Contemporary, which is just across the water in Jersey City. And while Mana is open, if you have a card pass for it, it's not open to the public, there's really no way to get there that's safe. You know, I've got to use mass transportation, and I've got to get out, and I've got to take another train. So it's a little bit tricky to get to. So I haven't been there for, I guess, about 30, 35 days. And I was getting ready to have a couple shows, one in D.C. I had a solo that was scheduled for May. That's been postponed till September, and so I don't have quite the crunch to make sure everything's done for it yet. But that's been the call for a lot of things. So what I've been doing for the last month and a half, I've done a bunch of little zines. I've done a number of small pieces of sculpture, and I've done a lot of paper pieces, something I'm actually already known for, but just smaller versions of them, and kind of exploring color and exploring the mark-making and color field is the way that I work.
Let's talk about the zines. That sounds interesting. I mean, we could go through everything, but as well as small paperworks. But tell me about the zines. How did that start, and what are they exactly? I mean, I'm familiar with zine culture, but walk
Absolutely.
Me through what your zines are, what you're making now.
I certainly will. Let me give a little bit of backstory to it. I've always loved the kind of world of artist books and zines and samizdat, whatever you want to call it. And it really started from like the first month I was in art school. I was attending VCU for a couple of years before I graduated the Corcoran School of Art in D.C. And the very first week, Nancy Roeder, who I believe teaches at MICA these days in Baltimore, took us to the Cabell Library at VCU, and they have this amazing collection of artist books. And it was, exclusive room, white gloves, the whole nine yards. They're really serious about it. And it just opened a whole new world for me about how people can make art and look at art and how it doesn't have to just be something that hangs on a wall or sits on a pedestal or whatever. And as a result, I've always had this kind of long-term love affair with the artist book and zine culture. And it's been a big thing. And then you push that through kind of my life as a young person of being involved in a lot of DIY kind of culture things, punk rock and art, and zines just become one of these things that you just kind of can do, and they're fun, and you can do a whole lot with them. So fast forward now to this coronavirus homestay. What I've been doing is just having some fun with it. I've started a series of silk screens last year that are currently on hiatus, shall we say, at the Nyad Art Center in San Francisco called Modern Times. So I did a zine of those silk screens, which are kind of pop culture influence. They're a little retro. They're a little transgressive. They're very different than my work. They're on my website, though. You can certainly see them. And I did that zine. I really enjoyed doing it. And then I've just been kind of spinning out ideas with them.
But tell me a little bit about that zine. So because your paperworks are, I'd love to get into, and I'm also a big fan of artist books and the history of that, all through, printed matter and other places. So to talk
about
how did you put these together? Because you're painting on paper often, acrylic on paper, very large work. By paper standards, certainly. How are you making the zines? What kind of imagery and what's the addition? How do you make them?
To me, the zines are all unadditioned, and they're made right on my computer. In my previous lives, I used to run a graphic design firm, so I'm really comfortable on the computer side of stuff. And doing snapshots with my iPhone, bringing it in, kind of cleaning it up in Photoshop, pushing it through, stealing images off of other people's things, kind of degrading them enough to go black and white, putting them into the publications, and off we go. So the the number of zines I have, they're all kind of a little bit all over the map. The one that kind of started me after the Modern Times zine was what I call History of Particular Colors. And basically, I was looking through this book of Matisse paper cutouts that I guess MoMA published at the time of that show. And the back and the end covers to that are color palettes of those of that era. And so I snapped some photographs of it because I was just kind of appalled by the names of some of the colors. And so I just started riffing on like 6 or 8 or 10 of the colors and their names and what they might be and what they mean and how they kind of don't really work in today's era. You know, some of the names of colors are kind of crazy. You know, you've got Persian yellow, but then I can talk about Persian yellow at the same time. I can talk about things like Crayola skin tone and how that's a great skin tone, you know, if you're a WASP. But if you're anything else, that Crayola crayon that says flesh color is just, it's not your flesh, so it's kind of hard. So I played with a lot of those ideas. The zines for me really kind of show the kind of sarcastic side of me and the kind of the questioning of authority side of me. And I just kind of let them run with wherever they go. I find them just creatively fun to do and a great outlet. Recently, I was watching an old documentary on painting. I believe Dia helped put it out. I can't even remember the title of it. But I kept seeing these interviews of Bryce Marden wearing like different hats. And so I did a zine of Bryce Marden wearing hats. I mean, they're just things that are just kind of spinning off the top of my head. They're not really related to my practice per se. They're just the other side of like who I am, where the color work is kind of stately and large and
well, that's what I love about them. Yeah, they're slightly separate from your practice, but of course they are that too. So keep going. So then you're making a zine based on that imagery, and you just make one or two of them, or do you give them away, or they're sold? What? How do they get out into the world?
Right now I'm making one or two of them because I'm at home and I've got a stapler, so it's easy to put together. I print them out of the printer. They're all, you know, letter half, so they're 8.5 by 5.5 inches. And I guess when all this kind of ends, I'll do a small production of 100 or so of them and send them out to various places. And they're never going to be limited edition because they're just very simple things. And
But talk about that a little bit more, because really, you know, zine is such an interesting culture. You're going to print up about 100 of these, and you're going to send them out to various places. What are those various places, and why send them out there? I mean, I'm interested in how culture, how work gets out into the world, and that's a peculiar path. Like zines, which are made inexpensively, bound with staples, and then you're popping them in the mail to where?
I'm popping in the mail to artists, friends of mine across the country. You know, I'm going to try to get some down to Printed Matter because I think that's a great place for them. I'd love to get some at Art Metropole in Toronto. You know, the places that kind of have an interest in this kind of artist ephemera and paper ephemera, and then just other creative people. Because I think that, you know, when I was younger, you would see people make scenes and they would literally just like drop a stack of them, like it's right inside the door of like a club that showed bands. People would just grab them. They'd just be part of the culture. And I love that about scenes, how they're just kind of something that floats in and out of the culture and people see that. And I just think that's a real fun thing to do. And it's a great way of just kind of putting information that's out there. And it's not so, are you familiar with the phrase prosthetic information? It's this idea
but talk about that. That's interesting.
Right. So that's an idea where you don't really have to learn deeply anything anymore because it's all kind of at your fingertips on the internet. And I think zine culture kind of works differently than that. It's the kind of thing that you find it and you stumble over it and you kind of ingest it and then you've got it. And then you can like let it go and pass it on to the next person or save it and keep it forever. But that information isn't just something you grab off the internet.
It's also the opposite of kind of consumerist culture in a way, isn't it? It's not only is it not part of the market, really. It can't really be part of the market, although I'm sure some, you know, rare zines become that. But they're not set up that way. And so it's also a slight push against that world, too, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's a little bit
of the market of capitalism, of you know, commerce-driven activity.
I think there's a bit of that to it as well, but I'll have to admit, I'll be the first to admit, I'm not really thinking so much on those terms with these. But it's certainly there in its subtext. Yeah.
And in the terms you're thinking of, I mean, you're getting them out there, they're going to like you said, Metropol, Printed Matter, those are stores, but are they also, how else are they being found in the way you said? Like people used to dump them off at concerts and you just pick them up free. Is that kind of distribution happening at all?
Yeah, that's going to happen as well. I'm not exactly quite sure where that's going to be just yet, but you know, I can think of like certain buildings in Chelsea where people are always in buildings seeing shows. There's cubby holes and places like that where people drop off stacks of postcards and stuff like that. And that's a great kind of location for things like that. So
let's say you dropped one off there. Like, just walk me through a little bit about what's in the latest zine. What would I be seeing? Is there text in there? Is there collage?
There's text in all of them. It's usually text and pictures. Yeah, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Brainerd. I apologize for that.
No, that's okay. I'm just curious exactly what's in there.
All of them. It's text and images. So the history of particular colors, it's really, everything is very formal in it. There's like a picture kind of in the center, kind of quarter way down, then a block of text about the same shape right underneath it. So that you just have colors, names of colors, and like the writing about the color underneath it. The zine for Modern Times, however, is a few pages of kind of traditional kind of art pages, if you will, and then actually some of my test prints that are kind of multi-layered that take those same ideas but kind of change them just through context and relationships they have on the page, and they're a little bit different.
Okay, now you said the zines from Modern Times, and Modern Times is an edition of screen prints. Is that correct?
Exactly. Yeah, Modern Times
is I mean, people will see some of this on your website, and we'll link to this, but what's the relationship of the imagery that's coming from Modern Times? This isn't silkscreen.
Sure.
You're printing it out of the computer. It's something very different, right?
So the Modern Times are a series of silk screens. What tends to happen in the summer, usually in August, I'll give myself a project to not lose any skills I've developed over time immemorial or whatever. You know, things that you learn, you just don't want to lose the skills. You've learned the skills, keep using them a little bit, just keep them steady. And I realized I hadn't really done any serious printmaking for, I don't know, 25 years. And so I thought, like, you know what, let's pull some prints, we'll see what happens. And I said, what do I want to print? So I started thinking about it, and I wanted to make prints that kind of had a conversation about consumerist culture and desires, and it was very different from my work because it was just going to be like a side project. And I started making these images, finding found images, making the stencils for them, putting them on the screens, printing them off, and really enjoyed them, and I was really shocked by the people who were responding to them. And one day in kind of October, I sent them over to a friend of mine who's a curator at NIAID Art Center, and I just said, hey, apropos of nothing, I thought you might find these funny. And within minutes, it was like, these are great, let's do a show. And that's kind of how that happened. It went from something that I was just kind of enjoying doing and just keeping my hands in the skills that I already had, not losing skills that I developed. And it became this whole second body of work of mine that I now actually have to really respect. And these are a series of silk screens. They're editions of 15. One colors, absolutely. They're one color, edition of 15. And, you know, they're built up using kind of, I guess, stock photography or stock images, really advertising dingbats, if you will, from like the 50s and 60s and early 70s. And then I just try to twist them a little bit here and there, and some are just drawn very simply.
And what happens with those editions? They're sold separately, or that's of a piece? How do those get out into the world?
Right now, they're taking their own sweet time getting out to the world. They're currently a show. They're in a show in San Francisco at NIAID Art Center in Richmond, which is just outside of San Francisco proper, I guess. And they've got 22 different prints there on display, as well as some of the test prints. I've had a couple of them show at art fairs, and they are being represented now by a gallery in right outside of Montreal called Arteria. And I've actually been shocked by how quickly they've been able to kind of like disseminate out to the art world a little bit. So that's been exciting.
Well, they do have a relationship to the zine, right, in the same way the zine does. I mean, these are also very, very graphic and bold.
Oh, big time.
I haven't seen the zines, and we're just talking about them in the abstract, but I would imagine the zines have a similar quality because you're talking about pulling from them. Is that correct?
That's very true. And in fact, right now, the only place you're seeing the zines are on my Instagram. And that's just been the place where I've dropped a few of them and have received some feedback from there. Pretty soon, they'll go out into the world.
Well, that's great to hear. And if someone wants a zine, if someone's listening to this, they're a fan of yours, or they're just other zine makers, is it possible to request one from you? Is that not how they work? Or
absolutely.
Tell me a little bit about
that. Yeah, you can just drop me a note via email or right on Instagram with your address. And what I might ask you to send me a little bit of money for postage. You know, it's a dollar or something like that. But that's how they get out. So, you know, it's a real simple thing. If they hear it from here and they can't find them, drop me a note. Happy to send them out.
Matthew, it's great talking to you about this work. I know we've talked a lot about the zines. You're still painting as well. Is that correct now?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's kind of the real part of the job, as it were.
And has that changed? Has your palette or imagery in terms of your painting changed at all in this current context? Or are you moving forward with the same path you would have, you think?
I think I'm moving forward with the same path I would have. You know, the things that kind of drive my traditional painting, mark making, color field, a little bit of scale, a little bit of improvisation, those kind of things really haven't changed so much. And so that to me is almost like an evergreen place. I can go in and pull information and kind of develop new images that way. Whether they're on paper, whether they're on canvas, that right now has been a body of work that I kind of started in, I want to say 2015, after years of doing kind of thicker gridded paintings. And it's really just been something that just keeps giving to me. The more I push into it, the more that comes from it. And I really don't see that body of work stopping anytime soon.
Well, Matthew, it's great to talk to you about this work. I'm glad to hear that. I want to ask you one more question, which is, what are you reading at the moment?
What I'm reading is a little bit of everything. I've gone through my bookshelves. I'm a big fan of Leonard Corin's writing. Leonard Corin, I don't know if you know, he did the kind of Wet magazine back in the 70s, early 80s that was really famous for the magazine of gourmet bathing. He's got a couple of books that are Wabi Sabi for Artists, which I find really, really, really enjoyable. I've been pulling from some new books as well. I've been reading the Judd exhibition catalog recently because I was able to see that right before it closed at MoMA here in New York. And I'm reading a book on woodworking called The Anarchist Toolkit. And it's really about stacked furniture that is just simple furniture that's easy to make, but it does require, you know, certain skill sets. And I've been finding a lot of enjoyment from that. It's a pretty varied reading list at the moment.
Matthew, thank you so much for talking with me today. I really appreciate your time and work.
Brainerd, it's completely my pleasure. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.